Found either way, take your Bible. Let's hold it up and let's say the words that are up on the screen together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we do approach your Word today. Lord, we approach it with open hearts, ready to receive what you have to say to us today, knowing, Father, that your word is life-changing. Your word today has the power to strengthen us to do your will and to enjoy the life that you have provided for us through Jesus. And Lord, we all pray today for just any gratitude adjustment that we need. You help us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I am in a series, or we're in a series that we just began last week, entitled Gratitude Adjustment. And as I began this series last week, I just said this: 'tis the season. Thanksgiving is coming up, and so we're reminded of how important it is to be thankful in life. And we don't want it to just be a once-a-year holiday, but we want it to be every day. But it's a good time to just check our gratitude and to make any necessary adjustments. And then, throughout the holiday seasons, you know, we have Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year. And throughout this season, throughout the holiday season, there's usually some real high highs, but there's low lows. And sometimes we can lose our balance and we can become ungrateful, or we can forget. We can see someone else's blessings and we can go, no, we need to make sure that throughout the holiday season, we adjust our gratitude. Now today, I'm going to minister to you a message entitled Duped by the Devil. Listen, all of us have been. But we don't have to be. And I believe that this message today is going to have some life-changing truths in it that you can take throughout life and your journey with God, and you can use these to live for God at a better, at a greater level, a greater quality of life. It can build your faith. But just before we get into that message today, let me read the scripture text for this series and remind you of some truths that we learned last week. So go with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. You can also look on your sermon sheet, or you can check the monitor up here. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Colossians 4, 2 says this: pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Now, we said last week that gratitude is more than an attitude. In fact, gratitude should be a lifestyle. It should be the way we approach life. In fact, Paul puts it this way. He said, I want you to live life with eyes wide open in gratitude. Let me give you the definition of gratitude. In fact, we've shared two with you. First of all, gratitude is the readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. It's the quality of being thankful. The Webster's 1828 dictionary defines it as an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or a benefit we received. And we talked about last week how certainly gratitude is an attitude, and we need to have the right attitude in our mind. But from a spiritual perspective, it's about having a grateful heart. And it's about always being ready to show kindness or to return the kindness that's been shown to you. To be appreciative. It's the quality of saying thanks. It's that you're excited on the inside from your heart about the goodness of God that's being poured out in our lives. But here's what we also said last week. We said that life has a way of getting us to close our eyes, to become ungrateful. Circumstances don't work out like we hoped they would. Brokenness happens, maybe financial setbacks, and all of a sudden we find our eyes closed to the goodness of God, closed to the good things going on in our life, and the enemy has gotten our attention on this one thing, the good the bad, the ugly, but we're only focused on the bad and the ugly. How bad it is and how ugly it is. And we said when that happens, it breeds discontent in our life. We become dissatisfied. And discontentment puts blinders on us. And now we can no longer see the hand of God working in our life. We cannot see His goodness. We are no longer grateful. And our life becomes very small. And it seems like the bad things multiply and there's nothing good. And then we said there is a cure for discontentment. And gratitude is the cure from discontentment. In fact, we said this. Gratitude expressed from the heart removes the blinders of discontentment. And so we said, you know, you may like to have a little cup of espresso in the morning to get yourself going. Well, along with, I recommend daily espresso of gratitude. Come on, every one of us are going to have circumstances that are disappointing. We're going to be tempted to be dissatisfied, to get discontent. So we want to live with our eyes open. And how do you keep your eyes open? Daily espresso of gratitude. So maybe we need to adjust our gratitude. But let's get into the message today. Duped by the devil. Listen, I don't know about you. Well, I do believe I know about you. I believe that you're like me. I don't want to be duped by the devil. Let me take you to a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul, an aged minister, writing to a young minister, Timothy. And here's what he said. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. Now, Paul is telling this young minister that in the last days, there's going to be this demonic influence, this spirit, and people are going to yield themselves to that, and they're going to be teaching, and really what they're teaching is placing doubt in people's hearts about the goodness of God. It will cause them to reject God and to reject the good things that God has provided. And Paul tells Timothy that this is the devil's doctrine. Did you know the devil has a doctrine? In fact, if you just define the word doctrine is defined as a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, or other group, and then I put, or the devil. It's a set of beliefs that he's teaching. It's not necessarily the set of beliefs he believes, but it's the one he's teaching you. It's what he wants you to believe. It's the devil influencing you to believe some things. In fact, I listened to a message, an amazing message by Dr. Tony Evans on gratitude. And here's what he says about this passage. He described it as this: false teachers under the influence of devils were trying to keep Christians from fully enjoying what God had provided. Wow. How many things have we not enjoyed? Good things that God wanted to provide for us, but we got duped by the devil. Now, I'll just put it this way, summing up the devil's doctrine, that the devil's doctrine is any teaching that keeps us from believing in and receiving the goodness of God. Wow. In this particular case, God was saying that, or in this particular case, the teachers were teaching that marriage and certain foods were bad. And if you study out the historical context, really at that time, there were some people teaching to abstain from marriage because of the sexual intimacy within marriage. And it wasn't even just about the institution of marriage. It was even about the sexual intimacy within marriage. And to abstain from that, that it's not good. And then certain foods, it's not good. And so really this doctrine, this particular way that the enemy was teaching this doctrine was he was saying sex and food are bad. Well, you know that's of the devil. Now I'm talking about sex within marriage, within those bounds, and the right food. Come on. But really what they were doing is they were trying to plant. Now listen. They were trying to plant a seed of doubt in the people's heart about God being good. They wanted them to view the Christian life as one that was one of sacrifice. And certainly there are sacrifices we need to make. But there's so much more good. And every sacrifice is worth it. One of the things that's a symptom, or we could put it this way, a symptom that we've been duped by the devil is that there's no joy in our Christian walk. The devil wants us to believe that the Christian life is one of drudgery and sacrifice. It's so hard to live for God. He wants to keep us focused. Now get this. He wants to keep us focused on what we can't do and what we can't have. While over here is all these things that we can do and we can have that will bring so much life to us. But the devil has us duped and we're not even receiving the good things because we can't even see them because we don't believe God is good. Paul goes on to say that everything God created is good. Now, people or the enemy may have twisted what is good. He may take it and use it against you in a way like he did here and say, don't receive it. Listen, if our Christian walk is hard and enjoyable, we're duped. We doubt the goodness of God. And here Paul just said this. He said, just receive it with thanks. In other words, start looking for things you can be thankful for and receive them. He said, Paul says, everything God creates is good and should be received with thanks. Wow. What good thing have you recently received from God lately? Or what good thing maybe have you missed out on because you weren't thankful for what God had already provided? Let me give you an illustration of this duped by the devil that had happened in the very beginning with Eve. Let's go back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, and let's read the encounter between Satan and Eve. Genesis 3:1. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die. Boom. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave to her husband, who was duped also with her, and he ate it too. You gotta watch who you hang with. Come on. How many of you know just because she was duped didn't mean he had to be? Genesis. I came up with a new book. I don't know. Anyway, at Genesis 3:13, I want you to go down just a little bit. And this is where God comes back to visit Adam and Eve, walk in the cool of the garden, walk in the garden with them in the cool of the day, and they're hiding from him. He deals with Adam and Eve, and listen to Eve's response. She was very honest. Genesis 3:13, it says, then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. You know what? Sometimes if you've been deceived, you just need to admit it. God, I got deceived. I got deceived. Now let's just look at how the enemy deceived her. He got her to focus on the one tree that she couldn't eat. There was a whole garden, a whole grove. We don't know how many trees, but the garden was filled with trees. Florida, we have orange groves. My grandpa had an orange grove. I mean, you couldn't eat all the oranges in the orange grove. No way. I don't think Adam and Eve could have ever even eaten all the fruit that was on all the trees that God had provided. You know what Eve could have done? She could have said, get out of here, and she could have gone to another tree and another tree and another tree and another tree, and she could have enjoyed her life eating off of the goodness of God. Amen. See, the enemy touts his doubt, and he wants to plant a seed of doubt in us, to doubt the goodness of God. He wants us to doubt God, and particularly in this way. He wants us to believe that God is holding out on us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That tree, that thing you can't do, that God said no, is really good. Now, if it were really good, and God is good, then why wouldn't he let you have that good thing? And then without knowing it, we become duped by the devil and we believe that God is not good by our actions. We stopped being thankful for what God has provided, and we can just simply acknowledge this. Ingratitude for what's been provided indicates that we have been duped by the devil. Yeah. Mm. Ingratitude. Wow. You see, Eve had quit walking through the garden. Maybe what she needed to do, instead of talking to the devil, maybe she just needed to take a stroll every day through the garden, just viewing the goodness of God instead of sitting at that one tree. Can't have it. Looks good. That's what some of you are doing. Get up. Walk through the garden. Give thanks to God for what you can do and what he has given you, and the peace that you have, the forgiveness that you have, the joy that is yours, access to his grace. Throw a gratitude party. Come on. Really, bottom line, that's the way that we overcome temptation. We overcome temptation when we simply walk away from what we can't do and receive what we can have and give God thanks for it. Wow. We overcome temptation, enjoy what God has provided with thanks. Mm. Here's what else happened. When she got duped by the devil, really, Adam and Eve both fell. They went and hid themselves. Do you know what they fell from? They fell from a higher place. They were living a higher life. You see, when we get duped by the devil, we will fall from a high life and we'll start living a lower life. And then he gets us so full that we think it's good. And really, in the end, it never turns out good. Oh, the Bible even says sin is pleasurable for a season, but not in the end. When we're duped by the devil, we will live at a lower level of life. Now here's the challenge, too, for those of us who are believers. While we have come to Jesus and we know the truth, we still live in a world that is intoxicated. Our world, the world we live in, is intoxicated. Come on, you've all, and we'll just put it this way, you've all seen someone who's been intoxicated. Different levels of intoxication. And in the world, if they don't know Jesus, this world is intoxicated. There's different levels. Some people are duped by the devil to a different degree. Some take it further than the others, but they're intoxicated. Here's what 1 John 5:19 says. It says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The whole world. You see, when we stand back as believers, those who have a relationship with God through Christ, and we judge the world, you got to be fair. Because the truth is, we know Jesus. We've experienced the grace of salvation, and we still get duped by the devil. So what can you expect from them? They're intoxicated. That's why they're acting like that. Well, I can't believe the way they acted. I can't. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we call right wrong. I mean, I said that backwards, didn't I? That was wrong. I'm not saying we call wrong right. I'm saying we understand. Yeah. I'm saying we minister to them in accordance with them, knowing that until their eyes are open to the gospel, they're going to be influenced by the enemy. In fact, let me take you to Romans. Romans chapter 20, and God deals with this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Can we just stop right there even before we read the rest of this passage? How many people have said, "Well, if I could just see God," you have no excuse. Come on, I don't care what Big Bang or other theory you come up with. What tadpole turned into your uncle that is not my uncle? Come on, look at the heavens. Anywhere on the earth, the sun rises. There are lights in the sky. The stars come out at night. There is a God. There's no excuse. Verse 21, "Yes, they knew God," but now listen, listen to this next thing. This has to do with ingratitude. It says, "but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks." Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Then I want to go down to verse 25. It says, "They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise." Wow. It said the problem with the world is they're not giving thanks to him. They're enjoying all his goodness. They enjoy sunsets. They paint pictures of them. They enjoy the oceans, the mountains. They enjoy the sky at night. They enjoy his goodness. But they don't say thanks. They don't worship him as God. And it says that when we don't thank God, when we have an attitude of ingratitude, then that attitude of ingratitude allows our minds to become confused. And I love this passage, the way the New Living puts it. It says, they begin to think up foolish ideas about what God's like. Now, who do you think is influencing them with those ideas? They've been duped by the devil. They don't believe God created the heavens. They don't believe in the God who created the heavens. Now listen, I got to say this about them too. Or let me just finish this before I say that. Ingratitude allows confusion. We get confused about who God is. Not only the people in the world, but folks, when we become ingratitude or when we become ungrateful, and gratitude begins to reign in our life, we begin to get confused about who God is, that He is a good God. Come on. And ingratitude, it's not just a human problem. It's a spiritual problem. We see here that when we're not thankful, we are being demonically influenced. You say, Pastor Jane, that's a little overkill. Talk to Jesus. Come on, this gratitude adjustment, this need to be grateful, it's a part of our spiritual life. We need to guard our gratitude. We need to make sure we don't allow the devil to put seeds of doubt in us about God being good, or that what God has said is not good. Well, that is good, and God's withholding or holding out on me, withholding something good. Now, he makes it clear in Romans here in this passage, Paul makes it clear that the giving of thanks is literally an act of worship. Wow. Let's say this, the less you know God, the less grateful you are. The more you know God, the more grateful you will become. And I'm not talking about knowing the religious God. I'm talking about knowing God, knowing Him through the person of Christ, through your relationship with Him, through the Word. Let me just end with this, because all of us are tempted. All of us are, you know, tempted to be ungrateful and have a spirit of ingratitude. We live in a world that's intoxicated, and it's so, listen, come, it's so easy to join in when people are griping and complaining, and even about the church. Yeah. You know, I'm a Christian, but I agree with you on that. Here's what God said, and here's the cure. We don't want to be duped by the devil. But how do we live in a world that's intoxicated? It's like we got to drive in the fog every day. Come on. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't feel the sway of the enemy that's in this world and his influence. So how do we live above it? Worship God. Deuteronomy 11:16, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said this, but be careful, don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. And really, he said this in the context of taking them into a good land. He was about to give them a land, and you know how the Bible described it, a land filled with houses that you didn't build, with wells that you didn't dig. I mean, the fruit was luscious. You're going to have plenty. Yeah. And he said, now listen, don't start worshiping what I created. Mm-hmm. And forget me. Don't get into this land and think, oh, well, we've got all this, but we can't marry outside. We can't do this. No, worshiping God rids our minds of any confusion as to who God is. Wow. John 4:23, let me close with this. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. Wow. You know what God wants? God wants people who worship Him for who He is. You know, I read this in my devotions the other day, and I thought, wow, that statement's pretty powerful. And the writer kind of said it in passing, referring to something else and not really focusing on this truth. But here's what he said. He said the Jewish leaders and religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were expecting a Messiah. But we know that when Jesus came, they rejected Him. And he said perhaps the reason they rejected Him is they were expecting a Messiah, but they weren't expecting God. But you see, we need to worship God for who He is. He's the God that sent his son for us. He's the God who took on flesh and dwelt among us. He's the God who came for us. He's the God who loves for us. He is good, and he always does good. And Jesus said, God is just looking for someone who will worship him for who he is. You see, when we believe that the Christian life is hard, or we can't do this and we can't do that, and we're focused on that, then that will tempt us to reach out and grab what God said no, because nothing good's happening. But God said, if you'll worship me in spirit, from your heart, and in truth, what the Bible says about me. And the Bible says God is good. The Bible said he always does good. The Bible says God loves us. Wow. And you know what worship does? Worshiping God insulates us from the doctrine of demons. Wow. Come on. Some of you need to put up some insulation in your life. Because we live in a world that's intoxicated. Now here's the truth. Everything God has created is good and is to be received with thanks. You know what, as I end this message today, listen, we no longer have to be duped by the devil. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship God for who he is and receive with thanks every good thing he has provided. Amen. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did. You know what, let's just take a moment now as we bow our heads, and let's just take a moment to reflect on this message. And I just want to pray that this message